So I'm going to share a few things with you this morning. I've got 40 minutes. Yeah. Get a few angry looks from people. Don't worry, it's not going to be that long. But I'm going to start with a couple of jokes, really bad ones. So get your phone ready, James. I want to sleep, doctor. This is a guy going to the doctor saying he wants to sleep. But my brain won't stop talking to itself. James? Insomnia sufferers, look on the bright side. There's only 3 more sleeps till Christmas. That's not funny though, is it? Sorry. I'm not an early bird or a night owl. I am some sort of permanently exhausted pigeon. We went to Aberystwyth yesterday, and I got this free drink bottle. And we went to a psychology lecture, and he was talking about, the whole lecture was on whether you're a night owl or an early bird. Where do fish sleep? In a riverbed? And sleeping comes naturally to me. I could do it with my eyes closed. There you go. You might be wondering why I'm talking about sleep. The title of my message this morning is You Must Sleep to Awaken. So I wonder what that's going to be about. You must sleep to awaken. That means this morning you're allowed to go to sleep. Okay. Bob's not here. I saw him earlier. Where did he go? But this would have been for him. So you must sleep to awaken. So that's my first point this morning. We need to go to sleep to awaken to what? To God's voice. So I'm gonna share a little bit out of Genesis. And Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending on it, ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. So when was it that Jacob awakened to the voice of the Lord? When was it? He awakened to the voice of the Lord when he slept, when he went to sleep with his head on the pillow. You know, Kieran's dad, Weston, some of you may have read his little book on his journey of faith, an amazing little book. If you haven't read it, James has read it. He's got a mention in there. But it's a great book, awesome book. But he would always say, God would always give him dreams because God couldn't get to him when he was awake because his mind's so busy often. But that's the title of my message this morning is You Must Sleep to Awaken. So maybe you could just say to the person next to you, you're allowed to sleep this morning. So we need to create a little bit of a context for this morning. Can I define what I'm talking about when I mention sleep? So what is it like when you're asleep? Some of you know what that's like right now. What's it like when you're asleep? You're resting, aren't you? You're resting and your mind is disengaged with reality as you know it, isn't it, when you're asleep? So we know that Jacob rested his head on a stone, but what did he awaken to? So when he rested his head on a stone, what did he awaken to? He awakened to God's voice. So why is it important to awaken to God's voice? Why do you think? No answers. It's all right. You're thinking, aren't you? What does the Bible say? The Bible says that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the voice or the word of God. And the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it's quite important, really, to hear the voice of the Lord. Because if we're not hearing the voice of God, we're not walking in faith. And if we're not walking in faith, then what are we walking in? Our own understanding, our own wisdom. So hearing the voice of God, awakening to the voice of God is such a key thing. The Christian life, it's so important. In fact, I would say it's the most important thing in our Christian life is hearing the voice of God. So Jacob awakened to the voice of God when he was asleep. So we're just going to keep looking at a few things here. But I wonder why there have been such terrible things done in the name of religion. I was just talking with Mike, and I went down on Friday morning down to the port, as we do sometimes, and we were talking to a guy there, and he said, "I don't believe in God." And that was fine. But then when we started to talk to him a little bit more, it was more that he was angry with what had been done in the name of religion. So when we got past that, and he could see that, in fact, the things that had been done in the name of religion that were evil were not God's doing, he actually, by the end of it, he was saying, "Well, I don't actually not believe in God, I just hate religion." Interesting point. I wonder, the things that have been done in the name of religion that have been evil, I wonder if they happen because when people, instead of resting their head on the word and allowing themselves to awaken to what God's saying or allowing God to speak to them, they came to the word, telling the word what it meant, saying, "This is what you're saying, God." So instead of listening and creating meaning through revelation, they're making the word say what they want it to say to justify their own position or their own agenda. And we see that down through history, don't we? With what, you know, the Crusades is a perfect example, isn't it? Where they went into Jerusalem and slaughtered thousands and thousands of people. And we know for a fact that that wasn't God at all. They were making the word say what they wanted it to say. So when we let go of reality as we know it, you know, we all have our reality, don't we? You're living in your reality. Is your reality reality? Or is it a reality of your own construct? But as we let go of our own reality, then we open ourselves up for God to create his. He is the author of truth, isn't he? Truth is another, you know, another way of saying whatever conforms to reality. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So as we let go of the things, our own kind of pre-constructed reality, we allow God to come into our world and reconstruct and to speak to us, and to let, and his voice will begin to bring his reality. So we must sleep to awaken in that sense. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to awaken to the voice of God because there's just so much going on around us. Do you find that? Life can get so busy. I mean, for some of you, it might not be so busy. You might be in a different stage of life where you've actually got a lot of time on your hands, but others of us might be in a busy time. But even if you're in a less busy time, sometimes your mind can be racing still. Sometimes when you've got not a lot to do, that's when your mind can get overactive because you've got too much space. So whatever situation you're in, I think it would be valid to say that it can be hard to hear God's voice because of what's going on around us. You know, David said, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Sometimes that's hard to do. I wonder if there's any other way of knowing God outside of being still. I don't know. I don't think there is. It's the only way to know God is to be still. So we can't know God unless we're still ourselves. David said, "My soul is like a weaned child within me." I wonder what he meant by that. I've never been a mother, but you mothers would know what that would mean more than myself. But I guess a weaned child would be a child that's a little bit less anxious. It's a little bit more restless, and would that be right? He's back with us. It's good. You know, some people talk in their sleep, but lecturers talk while other people sleep. That's Albert Camus. Anyway, point number two. You know, over busyness and worry keep us from awakening to the voice of God, don't they? Luke 10, verse 38 to 41. I'm just going to read a short story here. It's a really good one. Now, as they were traveling along, He entered a village. So Jesus is traveling along with his crew. And a woman named Martha welcomed him, Jesus, into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at Jesus' feet listening to his word. But Mary was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left everything to do, me to do all, you know, all the serving alone?" So Mary had left it all to Martha to do all this busy stuff. "Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." You know, Mary made the greatest discovery when she rested and stilled herself and sat quietly at the feet of Jesus and just listened. You know, Jacob awakened to the voice of God when he put his head on the stone. You could say that that stone represented the word of God, couldn't you? When we rest our head on the word, then he speaks. He reveals himself. Listening to Jesus is what Mary discovered as the key thing to her life. Let's just look at 1 Samuel 3, verse 1 to 4. This is about little boy Samuel. And Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Eli was an older prophet, if you remember what, an older priest, sorry. And there were some things that went on there. But Samuel was the young lad that was being raised up to be the prophet of Israel. And it says, "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." Not many people tuned into God at that point in time. But one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel, where was he lying? He was lying down. He was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament times, where did the presence of God, what was the kind of the point of contact for God's presence? It was in the ark, wasn't it? But now, in the new covenant, we are the temple. We have the Holy Spirit in us. But at that point, Samuel was lying down next to the ark. In other words, he was lying down, he was resting in God's presence. What an amazing picture of how we can hear the voice of the Lord. He was lying down, resting, near the presence, in the presence, and there the Lord spoke to him. You know, I don't think we're going to hear God's voice unless we can get still and rest and just have an ear that says, "Lord, what is it that you want to say? I'm just listening to you." So he awakened to God's voice, didn't he, Samuel? So my third point is resting in God is the posture to awaken to the voice of God. And so if hearing God is literally the most important thing of our Christian life, then knowing that posture is a great key, isn't it? How do we enter into this rest? Now, I'm just going to look at this a little bit now. So you might be, some of you may be experts at this. I'm certainly not. I'm learning as I go. But I want to be someone who can rest in God and cease from striving and just really rest into God and hear him clearly to know what he's saying. Because it's really important, isn't it? When you're a father, when you're a husband, when you're in whatever sphere you're in, it's important to hear God, isn't it? Because we want his direction, advice. We want him to show us what to do in those tricky situations of life. So Hebrews 4 verse 3. And this just explains a little bit about how we can enter into that rest. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For we who believe." And, oh man, anyone got an Amplified translation? It's an amazing, great translation of the Bible. Because it says, for we who believe, and then it's got in brackets, that is, we who personally trust and confidently rely on God enter that rest. So we have his inner peace now because we're confident in our salvation and assured of his power. I think one of the greatest barriers to entering into God's rest is when we're not quite sure or we've lost that sense of joy in our salvation. Because what Paul is saying there is he's saying, we who believe do enter the rest. So I wonder if you could ask yourself that question this morning, am I a believer? Am I a believer? Are you a believer? So are we believers? We're believers, aren't we? Believers behave as well, though, don't they? And so we believe, but what do we believe? We believe that Jesus died on the cross for us. We believe, you know, that he died in our place, that our sin was weighty enough to take us all the way down in separation from God forever. But Jesus stepped in. He said, no, I'm going to take your sin upon myself. I'm going to die for you. And that's what he did. He died on the cross. He took the punishment we deserved on the cross so that we could now be reconnected to Father God, so that we could now live not as God being our enemy, but now he's our friend. He's for us, not against us. That's good news, isn't it? Now, there's a book written by a guy, doesn't really matter who the name of the guy is, but he wrote a book called Transformed by Grace. And the great thing that he said is that we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day because we forget. We need to remember what it is we have. Isn't it amazing that we have eternal life? You have the life of God in you this morning. That's something to get excited about. What's worth more, £1 billion in the bank or knowing that you have eternal security? That's something to get joyful about, isn't it? I know some of you got some really deep joy happening there. Sometimes it even affects the facial region. But it's great. We've got, and we who believe enter the rest. You know, what happens when we forget? That's when we get into striving, don't we? So rest comes through trusting in the goodness of God. Rest comes through trusting that he has saved you from your sin. And you will sin again. Don't think it's the last time you'll ever sin. You know, John said, if anyone man says that he's not a sinner, he's a liar. So we'll slip up. We don't want to. We're not deliberately trying to sin, but we will. And we're praying and asking God that he'll help us to walk his path. And he's promised to help us and strengthen us and keep us. But rest comes from trusting that he has forgiven you, that you have eternal life right now, and he's not going to take it away from you. He's not just going to change his mind one day and rip the eternal life off you. That's a good thought. You know, there's a really good scripture in Psalms that says, those who trust, those who know your name will trust in you. And Kieran was talking about the name of, we were singing, worthy is your name. And if we know what the name of God is, if we know his nature and what he's like, we will trust in him. Why? Because we'll know that he's fully trustworthy. There's so many great names for God in the Bible, that he's our healer, he's our peace, he's our means of righteousness. That's an amazing one. It means that if you've ever tried to be righteous in your own strength, you fail every time, but he's your means. In other words, he'll give you the strength and the power to do the righteous things that he requires of you. He's not just going to say, there you go, here's a big command for you, see if you can fulfill that one. That would be a mean trick, wouldn't it? And then stand back and laugh when you fall on your face. That's not God. You know, Jesus is our shepherd, isn't he? Now, if you read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, and as you understand what kind of a shepherd he is, then you'll really feel, man, I can trust in him. You know, he's the Prince of Peace, our everlasting Father. Hebrews, we'll just have a look at Hebrews 6, verse 18 to 20 really quickly. We're nearly finished, actually. But here's just an incredible piece of scripture. And it says, I'm just going to jump in at verse 18. You could do a bit of homework later if you want, but it says, so that by two unchangeable things, and here are the two unchangeable things, it's his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie. You know, it's not in God's nature to lie. He doesn't lie, because that's his, he is the truth, isn't he? He, you know, the devil is the liar. He's the deceiver. God is the truth. So it's just saying here that he cannot lie. It's important. So it says, we who have fled to him for refuge would have strong encouragement and indwelling strength to hold tightly to the hope set before us. What is that hope that's set before us? Eternal life. That when you die, you're going to be in heaven forever. That's an amazing thought. Something to get excited about. So this hope, this confident assurance we have as an anchor of the soul. It cannot slip, it cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. It's a safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the heavenly temple, that most holy place in which the very presence of God dwells. In other words, if you want to enter that place of rest, you need the anchor. Because if you don't have the anchor, you know that if a boat doesn't have an anchor and there's a stormy sea, it's just going wherever the sea takes it. Whereas if you have an anchor, it's anchored. And that's what you have. You have an anchor that goes through the veil into the presence of God where Jesus went before you. And he's there. He's your intercessor, praying for you day and night, standing with you. So there's something to help us come into a place of rest, knowing that we can trust in God. He's good. He won't lie. You know, you can't trust someone who doesn't keep their promises, can you? You know, I mean, we've all broken promises at one time or another, but God never breaks his promises. He never has. A true promise means that I want to, I can, and I will fulfill the promise. And that's the true of God, isn't it? He can. First of all, he wants to keep the promises he's made to you. He can keep it, and he will keep it. Now, I'm talking about salvation, the promise of eternal life, but that includes every promise that God's made to you. Now, I wonder how many promises are just sitting under the cover of your Bible that you're not accessing. There's thousands of them that you can get in there. And you know, the Bible says that every promise is yes and amen in Christ. I mean, whatever need you have, what is your need this morning? Is it emotional? Do you have an emotional need? Do you feel, you know, are there things in your emotional life that need a promise? Are there things in your physical world that need a promise? In your material world, in your financial world, in your relational world? There's a promise for every single one of those areas. The Bible says, my God will supply all of your need according to his glorious riches in Christ. So the problem's not on God's side, is it? He's willing, he's able, he wants to, he will, but we've got to know he's a loving father, a good God. Because, you know, we know what happened to the man with one talent. He buried it. Why? Because he thought his master was a hard man, but he wasn't. And that's God for you this morning. He's not hard. He's a loving father. And just find the promise that you need. But remember the promise giver. Sometimes we get so caught up in the promises that we forget the promise giver who gave the promise and the heart of the father that the promises are issuing from. My last and final point is religion keeps us from awakening to God's voice. I'm nearly finished. So religion can keep us from hearing God's voice. You know, sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, when we forget, the Bible says those who believe enter the rest, but sometimes we forget, don't we? We forget that God's forgiven us and saved us, and and given us this whole new life. And then we can start doing good things to try and earn God's favor. And that's when we get worn out. We're just trying to do work for God instead of hearing his voice and doing it with God. It's a big difference there, isn't it? So I think we get most worn out when we're building our own kingdom. Because I love at the end of the Lord's Prayer, it says, your kingdom come. No, hang on a minute. How's it go at the very end? For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory. So after praying through the Lord's Prayer, at the end it says, for yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. You know, that's what we're building. We're not building our own kingdom. We're building your kingdom. But if we're just building our own kingdom, we get tired. We get worn out, don't we? Because if we're building his kingdom, who empowers us to do that? God. I know some of you are getting bored. This is so simple and easy, isn't it? You know this stuff. But it's so easy to forget. We can get so busy working for God, and we end up building our own kingdoms instead of God's kingdom. I've just got here, if we're building God's kingdom, who do we need to consult? The king. Who's the king? Jesus. So whatever you're doing in your family life or in the world or in the church, if we're doing something for the kingdom, we need to be consulting the king. And if we're consulting the king, we need to spend time with him, listening. And then if we're listening, he'll say, this is how I want you to do it. But if we just start drifting out of that, we just start doing what we think and doing our own ideas, don't we? So just, I'm speaking to myself, I'm speaking to everybody. So Matthew, I'm going to finish with a scripture here, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Now, I'm talking about rest. Now, whenever you talk about Mary, all the Marys are sort of thinking in their minds of who the Marthas are in the church, you know, and they feel vindicated because they're the ones that are, you know, resting. But that's not really what it's about. Because you know, you could anyone who has a depth of relationship with God doesn't mean that you're not doing for the kingdom as well. It's not all about just sitting at Jesus' feet and listening all day, every day. It's about listening and then putting to practice actioning what you're hearing, isn't it? So, but anyway, Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30 says, are you tired? Anyone tired here this morning? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? It's so easy to get burned out on religion. Rushing around, going to meetings, doing things that God hasn't asked you to do. But Jesus said, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. You know, we need our lives recovered, don't we, sometimes? Things steal from our lives. We need to recover it, recover our life. Jesus said, I'll show you how to take a real rest. When Jesus said that, he's not saying asleep in your bed, maybe, but he's saying a rest in your spirit so that you're so rested. He said, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. He said, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Wouldn't that be an amazing way to live? The unforced rhythms of grace. I think there's a place where we can get to where we might be working hard, but it doesn't feel like hard work because we're getting carried along by God. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. But I wonder if we could have a song to finish. And I'm really keen to have response times. The response time that I would like to call for this morning is just awakening to the voice of God. You know, Every single one of you would have been in that space and time at some point where you've heard the voice of the Lord really clearly. And it's just not just easy. You know, you're just hearing God's voice and it's just like a dream, isn't it, the Christian life. But then you come into other places where you get into these times when it's you're actually finding it hard to hear God's voice. There's all these things going on around you. But this morning I just want to pray that as we sing the last song, just want to pray that God creates a space around you so that you can hear his voice clearly again. Thanks, God. So let's just sing, worship the in this final song, worship the Lord in this final song. Let's just make it our heart's cry this morning. Lord, we want to awaken to your voice.